This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 1945. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, primarily shortwave. On this edition, recorded August 28th, Anguilla, Antarctica, Australia, Bhutan, Brazil, Bulgaria, China, Colombia, Cuba, Europe, India, Indonesia, Mauritania, Netherlands, Nigeria, Norway, Peru, Russia, Sao Tome, Solomon Islands, Spain, USA Unidentified, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer. For several weeks, the Caribbean beacon Anguilla had followed a regular strange schedule of being on the air only on local Sundays and Mondays, 11775 in the daytime and 6090 at night. However, on August 26th and 27th into 28th, it was missing from 6090 and also in the daytime from 11775. Don't know what the problem is, but who needs it, since the so-called University Network is also on WWCR almost 24 hours a day on 5935 or 13845. Also, there was a report about a month ago of medium wave 1610 being reactivated from Anguilla, but I've yet to hear any sign of it or see any further reports of that. Manuel Mendez in Spain updates us on Radio Nacional Arcángel San Gabriel in Antarctica. He was hearing it via the remote receiver in Sao Paulo, Brazil, August 24th, from 1402 to 1420, an earlier hour than normally. And he says that Friday the 24th was the only day in the week when it could be detected. LRA 36. Meanwhile, he could not pick up even a carrier at his home location in Spain, but the frequency exactly was 15475.97. Ron Howard in California on the coast continues to monitor the low-power private Australian stations and is even in contact with them about the NQ radio network in Queensland running radio 4KZ on 5055. He got this from the general manager, Al Curtin. He said, "I'm looking around for a 5-kilowatt transmitter." And Ron says that would certainly result in a significant improvement to 4KZ signal being received in California. So I wish him good luck. Meanwhile, Ron continues to hear it with whatever power they are currently running. As early as 0830 UT on August 28th, identifying some of the pop songs being played, and they cut off at 11:55 and 37 seconds. Manuel Mendez in Spain says he was hearing Aussie Radio 4835 much earlier, August 26th at 06:31, a weak carrier detected in Spain, and it was making it to New Zealand, where he was hearing it much better on a remote receiver with Waltzing Matilda. Now, that is much earlier than I've ever seen it reported in North America. It must be long path to Spain, but it is possible, since that's getting close enough to winter sunset in eastern Australia. Ron Howard at Asilomar State Beach, California, reports a greatly extended broadcast from BBS Bhutan 6035. August 26th, heard from 1207 past 1340, but with the usual co-channel interference from Yunnan, China. The BBS programming was the usual indigenous singing and chanting. And on Sundays at 1315, they have a program of young children calling in and singing over the phone. This time, a few men called in and also sang. Furthermore, Ron says that Hiroyuki Komatsubara in Japan has heard a station on 6035 at 2105 UT, which is believed to be BBS Bhutan, further extending its schedule. But this may not be permanent. As I recall, they used to sign on around 0100. Here we go again, August 27th at 1955. I found a big, dirty, distorted FM blob centered about 11686. And, yes, it turned out to be RNA, Amazonia, Brazil, way out of whack again, missing from its normal AM frequency, 11780. And in the next few minutes, I got definite IDs in their regular programming. And 11686 FM was still going almost until 0100 UT. They may well have kept it on until the usual sign-off around 0300. But would they again be on that frequency the next day? Who knows? Of course, this transmission is still distorted but somewhat readable depending on the strength, with receivers capable of tuning narrowband FM, such as the R75 or NRD545. Radio Aparecida Brazil, nominal 11855, has a hard time attaining that frequency for quite a while. It had been almost 1 kHz high, but now it's almost 2 kHz above. August 24th at 1308, I had a barely audible carrier on 11856.868. And August 26th at 0102, I was able to recognize it speaking Brazilian Portuguese, so it must be Rádio Aparecida. The anonymous test for Africa I mentioned last week for August 23rd on 9320 and 11550 did come off. A number of monitors picked it up, but we still don't know who was behind it. We do know that the site was Bulgaria, according to nearby Ivo Ivanov. Ron Howard reports separately on the other station besides Bhutan on 6035, what's now called FM 99, Voice of Shangri-La, as relayed by PBS Yunnan China, heard August 24th at 13 UT with a time signal, a singing station jingle, and a few words in English about traveling to Shangri-La. He then found a website about the station, that is the originating FM 99 station, which promotes tourism to that area. At least on FM 99 and a network of other FM stations, the sound of Shangri-La is broadcast continuously for 17 hours a day. Ron Howard also reports on 7210 PBS Yunnan, minority service in local languages, August 25th, at 1042 to 1101. He got a very easy ID, he says, but this station is rarely reported, even tentatively. He got their interval signal, a long-playing non-stop musical loop of all easy-listening instrumental music repeated over and over. It's the same music he's listened to countless times on 6035, whenever PBS Yunnan ran past their normal 1200 UT sign-off. Mark Cody in the Ontario DX Association notes that not all the jamming by China is using the CNR1 program, or Fire Dragon. He's been hearing CNR3, the Voice of Music program, at certain times and frequencies, such as 1216 UT on 11640 and 11785, jamming Taiwan and VOA respectively. And the jamming on those two frequencies was in parallel. It seems that Colombia's last two shortwave stations have not been reported in over a month. That is, the ones on 5910.2 or 3 and 6010 variable, Al Caravan Radio and La Voz de Tu Conciencia. I used to hear them, especially the lower one, when the frequency is clear in the evenings, early or late. And it's quite obviously that, since it's always been off frequency. But what has become of them? They've always been irregular, but this is quite a while without any reports of them. Something's always wrong at Radio Havana, Cuba. I could go on and on with the discrepancies I've logged from one day to the next. But of particular interest, after an absence of almost a month, the FM transmissions of RHC have resumed, actually spurious outlets, from the 13700 AM transmitter at intervals of approximately 67 kHz above and below. I was hearing these August 28th around 1330 UT, the closest ones, quite strong and easily demodulated if tuned in the FM mode. Otherwise, it's quite a noisy mess. Here are the frequencies approximately where I was hearing this. 13831, 13899, 13766, 13634, 13567, 13501, 13434. Less than an hour later, they had diminished, but the closer ones were still audible. On Monday, August 27th, after 14 UT, Radio Marti was back on the air after taking another weekend off, starting its third week on the new frequency of 11860 in honor of Fidel. At 2055 UT, it was also still colliding directly with Radio Havana, Cuba, which started 11860 in April. Now they're making a subaudible heterodyne of about 6 hertz apart. And by then, not much noise jamming was audible. Yet there are plenty of open frequencies on 25 meters. So how much longer will this go on? A battle to the death? Or no one at either service notices and or cares about the collision? The longtime pirate FRS Holland made another appearance Sunday, August 26th, around 20 UT, heard by Manuel Mendez in Spain on 7700 and 6245.4. The lower one very weak, only audible in lower sideband. However, they plan to repeat the transmission the following Sunday, September 2nd, starting at 1752 UT until about 2150. And they said the possible 48-meter band frequency would be 6275. In DX India, Joe Jacob informs that the DRM transmitter at All India Radio Bengaluru, running 185 kilowatts, began an expanded schedule on August 27th. It's usually running two different programs at once, an external service language, in some cases English, and one of the domestic services such as Ragam on Channel B. Well, here are the times and frequencies without further details. 0315 to 0530, 15185. 10 to 11, 17895, that's English. 1145 to 1330, 15040, 1615 to 1715, 11560, and 1745 to midnight 45, 7550. Ron Howard in California continues to monitor the reactivated Pro 1 of RRI Nabire, Irian Jaya, Indonesia, on 7289.92. August 24th, he heard it from 0851 until it went off at 0912 and had a semi-decent signal. On August 27th, he heard it from 0824 until it went off quite a bit earlier at 0852. The closing time varies a lot, but it was very listenable. But on August 28th, there was no signal, starting as early as 0752 through 1017. Transatlantic medium wave DXers such as Mark Connolly in Massachusetts and Sylvain Noe in Quebec have not been hearing Mauritania on 783 kHz. It used to be a regular, as it's right on the coast, and could be propagating when the further north Europeans were not. On the IRCA list, Mano Ritula replies that an Arabic-speaking friend got a reply from Radio Mauritania, translated, "We apologize for the current interruption to broadcast on medium wave, but the interests concerned are trying as quickly as possible to lift the malfunction." August 26th at midnight 20, I tuned to 9925 for the weekly UT Sunday broadcast of the mighty KBC via Germany, but it was missing until I heard a just barely audible carrier. It so happened that was exactly when Mark Cody in Ontario was also listening, and until that time, from midnight UT, he was having a very good signal, but he says it was completely lost to the geomagnetic storm by midnight 20. I was wondering if they were about to make their usual switch in September to a lower band. The frequencies reserved for this are 5960, 6040, or 6145. And Craig Chris, who participates in the mighty KBC, has the answer from Eric von Villigen. On September 9th, they're moving from 9925 to 5960, UT Sundays at midnight to 02. The media magazine you monitor with your mind, World of Radio, 1945. No new contributions to acknowledge this week, which might have been sent by money order or check in U.S. funds on a U.S. bank, to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK 73702. Or by PayPal, not necessarily in U.S. funds, to WORADIO at yahoo.com. Those help to sustain this totally non-commercial enterprise, both on the air and on the web, worldofradio.com. Last week I mentioned that Voice of Nigeria had been absent since at least August 18th from its usual big signal in Hausa at 06UT, slightly below 7255. I've kept checking, and finally it's on again as of August 28th. Starting the Lake Chad area of Nigeria, Dandalkura Radio International is heard on a new frequency, says Alan Rowe in the UK, August 23rd, signing off at 20 UT, so it starts an hour or two earlier. It's on 11765 in parallel with the previous frequency, 11830. Ivo Ivanov says both of them are from Issoudun, France, one of them registered as an alternative. In the British DX Club, Nick Rank in Buxton, UK, reports Radio Northern Star, Norway, starting to become audible earlier on 1611 kHz, such as with an ID at 2030 UT, August 25th, playing oldies. He says slightly better on 1611 than 5895 for him. Occasional Dutch interference. So that is a reminder they are also on that shortwave frequency, very low powered, and quite a difficult catch outside Europe. Radio Northern Star 5895. More about Radio La Voz del Pueblo, Santiago de Chuco, Peru, from Manuel Mendez in Spain. That's the new station, supposedly on 4910, but heard closer to 4920. It was active for about a week, several weeks ago, and then mostly absent. And Manuel Mendez says frequency 4920.83 had a very weak carrier he could detect at his location, and a stronger carrier, but no audio, on the remote receiver in São Paulo, Brazil. August 25th at 0445 to 0630. But there was no signal the previous day or the following day. Last week I mentioned that Radio Tawantinsuyo in Cusco, Peru, had been confirmed active, and August 27th at midnight 49 I was able to detect its just barely audible carrier on its signature off frequency. August 27th at midnight 49, 6173.92. Ron Howard highlights a report I did not mention last week about Radio Sakha, which for a while was Russia's major shortwave station from Yakutia on 7295 and or 7345. The story said, due to the cessation of broadcasting on short and medium waves in Yakutia, local reindeer herders are literally cut off from civilization. The released funds were directed to increase the volume of Yakut broadcasting in the FM band. Since April 27th, broadcasting on HF has been terminated due to the stoppage of funding. It had been on shortwave for almost 2 years, starting May 6, 2016. In the National Radio Club, Mark Connolly, medium wave DXer on the Massachusetts coast, says VOA São Tomé was quite good. August 27th, signing on at 0259 with the Yankee Doodle bit on medium wave 1530 kHz. If anyone hasn't logged it yet, try again starting a couple of minutes before 0300 UT. That is a 600 kilowatt transmitter, but you'll have to pull it past domestic 1530s, of course, such as WCKY in Cincinnati. About Solomon Islands, 5020 SIBC, Ron Howard says, for a long time I've been checking before 12 UT and always found their carrier at a decent level, but no modulation, not any audio. But August 26th, for the first time in a very long time, I did have audio above threshold level, heard with the Sunday religious programs after 1114, slowly improving to 1148 when audio dropped down. Still some, but not nearly as good as earlier. So it seems they must have done some work on their transmitter. On August 27th, it was noted signing off at 1201, but the audio was there as early as 0951. Kim Elliott forwards news from Guia de la Radio in Spain that Antonio Buitrago is the new director of Radio Exterior de España. The name is somewhat familiar. Horacio Negro in Uruguay says he's an active radio guy, a DXer. So, one of us. Congratulations. In the Michigan ARE tip sheet, Kevin Zicke opines, if you haven't already heard, as part of the war on science, the latest U.S. government budget proposal has targeted the NIST. Yes, the WWE stations are on the chopping block, as well as all the basic measurement and technology services needed to support development of next-generation batteries, solar panels, and other things that threaten fossil fuels. This has severe implications for everything from radio stations that use WWE as a frequency standard to air traffic control and railway coordination. Trains and aircraft must not occupy the same space at the same time. And without a single standard, you're only guessing at the time. There is a petition at whitehouse.gov that you need to sign. Dan Robinson forwards a story from therealnews.com headlined, U.S. government admits it's making fake social media accounts to spread propaganda in Cuba. It strongly resembles a story I also saw from Cuba's Prensa Latina. Now about World of Radio shortwave scheduling. The Thursday 23:30 broadcast on WBCQ 7490 reported August 16th turned out to be a one-shot as other programming had resumed on August 23rd. Although WBCQ initially made a commitment to carry World of Radio every day of the week at 23:30 on 9330, that has been steadily eroding. And during the past week, as far as I can tell, number 1944 did not air any time on 9330. So, should I remove it from my schedule or not? I've been running it as maybe, so I suppose we can continue to check in case it shows up. However, this week, starting September 1st, we are adding a new shortwave outlet in the U.S. But this is entirely thanks to Tim Gaynor in Australia of Unique Radio, who has already been carrying some media programs on the block he has purchased from WINB, Saturdays at 11 to 13 UT on 9265. He's adding World of Radio at 1230 UT on Saturdays, 9265 WINB. That's following the International Radio Report and Hobart Radio International. Many thanks to him. So now our shortwave listeners all the way from North America to Australia have a chance of hearing us on Saturdays. You can also listen to Tim's entire current and previous programs via www.uniqueradio.podomatic.com. Meanwhile, WINB continues to test some kind of hybrid DRM weekdays between 11 and 17 UT on 15665 to 15675. I occasionally hear that noise. But from September 2nd, they're going to have a problem. According to Ivo Ivanov in Bulgaria, Radio France International in Hausa at 16 to 17 UT is scheduled to move to 15670 from 13690 during the summer. Getting back to WBCQ, John Carver and I have noticed some apparent programming changes there. 5130, no longer on the air all the time, carrying Brother Stair. It's still on the air when other programming had previously been scheduled. And 7490 apparently is no longer carrying every night of the week at 01 UT, the full gospel hour with Blaylock the Blaster. In the Michigan ARE tip sheet, Paul Dobosch has some interesting background about the still silent Pennsylvania station WMLK. A good part of their problems stem from lack of engineering expertise and poor construction practices. They purchased the BBC transmitter, Brown Boveri, the previous name to Ampagon, in Europe, configured for European power distribution voltages. It was old and largely obsolete at the time of purchase. That meant a lot of adaptation to make it function. Adding to their woes was a lack of money to cover the expenses of installation and engineering personnel with limited ability and knowledge of the specifics of that transmitter. The technical documentation was all written in German, so they had to pay a translator to translate the books into English. The actual fire was caused by the aluminum open-wire transmission line through the antenna overheating and burning their transmitter building down. This is the second insurance claim they've had in the past few years as an ice storm brought down their previous curtain dipole array. They were able to erect a more robust antenna with the insurance money. They are now also getting a modern transmitter and building thanks to insurance money. I'm not sure I would want to insure them after two major claims of that size within a couple of years, but I'll leave that to the bean counters and underwriters. Ampagon has gotten a bunch of business from the Northeast United States in the past year. This despite everybody, including most of the government broadcasters, pulling out of shortwave. A couple of intriguing unidentifieds to look into on 4770.0. Nicholas Philby in France says, I heard something in DRM August 24th at 1940 UT. Only data as DRM service A, no audio, the bandwidth 10 kHz at 5 kbps. August 25th at 05 UT, the same frequency, but the bandwidth was 5 kHz, a very good signal. 10 to 20 over 9 near Paris in France. What could it be? And I, GH, have heard a just barely audible carrier more than once on 4810. It is blasted away by the huge utility hash above it, but it seems likely that the most probable source for this at midnight 39 UT August 26th would be Radio Logos in Peru reactivated, so please check in South America and elsewhere. As you may have noticed, if you were trying to listen to shortwave, an unpredicted major geomagnetic storm erupted August 25th and 26th with K index reaching at least 7. That wiped out normal propagation, especially over high latitudes, and produced visible aurora in the northern part of the U.S. and Europe. But all is not lost. Mark Cody in the Ontario DX Association says from spaceweather.com, we have a report of a new sunspot, AR2720, which is not only large but also strange. Its magnetic polarity is reversed. The north and south ends of its enormous magnetic field are backwards compared to the norm for sunspots in the current cycle, the decaying number 24. Could AR2720 be the first big sunspot of the next solar cycle, 25, popping up now in the middle of the solar minimum? While this new sunspot is decaying, it may be the herald of better propagation condition in the years to come. The propagation outlook from Boulder issued August 27th. Geomagnetic field activity unsettled to active through August 30th, September 1st, 2nd, 7th, 11th to 17th, and 22nd. But A and K indices low at only 8 and 3 or 5 and 2 until September 11th, 15 and 4, slightly declining down to 10 and 3 on September 15th. Solar flux 67 August 30th through September 9th, rising to 70 starting September 13th. P.S., the Protect My Public Media team writes August 24th that the full Senate approved fiscal year 2019 public media funding. See their blog for news about it, protectmypublicmedia.org, an important milestone to protect federal funding. Thanks to ongoing outreach to Congress in support of public media funding, this positive step was possible. In September, we anticipate the full House of Representatives will debate its bill to determine public media funding levels. We're closely monitoring this process. Thanks for your ongoing participation and support. And that's World of Radio 1945. Glenn Hauser inviting you to hear me again next week.